Good morning and welcome to yet another online service at Warden. I hope you're doing well. Happy New Year to you and your family. A new year is a time of new beginnings. It's like a fresh start. It's a time when we try to change the things in our lives that need changing. We want to be a better person this year than last. But if you're like me, then you can probably relate to this New Year's Day prayer that I found. It says, "Dear Lord, so far this year I've done well. I haven't gossiped, I haven't lost my temper, I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. And I'm very thankful for that. But in a few minutes, Lord, I'm going to get out of bed, and from then on, I'm probably going to need your help a lot more. Amen." Can anyone relate? We are now a few days into the new year, and we don't know what 2021 will hold. If anyone would have told me at the beginning of 2021 what the year was going to be like, I don't think I would have believed them. And I have to wonder what the road ahead will be like. And that got me thinking. And about a few years ago, I went on a missions trip to Iqaluit in Nunavut. And in Iqaluit, there's a very interesting road. It's called the Road to Nowhere. Now let me tell you, that road is named appropriately. The last day in Iqaluit, Pastor Moore took us on a drive on the Road to Nowhere. And it just seemed to go on and on and on. All you saw for miles and miles was barren land that looked like this. I remember I even started to feel car sick from the bumps and the turns. And finally we stopped and we turned around because eventually it came to a dead end. The road truly goes nowhere. Now I've been thinking about that road lately because it's a wonderful illustration of what our lives can be like. Day after day passes and we just keep living our lives and things don't change. We just keep going, but we never ask ourselves where we're headed. And I think most people just half-heartedly stumble through life, hoping tomorrow will be better than today. No plan, no dream, just existing and hoping for a break. They just keep turning the pages of their life story one after another until they get to the final chapter. And if you're not careful, that's the road that you can live your life on. We can be like the Israelites in the wilderness, going around the desert and the barren land for 40 years and never getting to the place God intends us to live. We each have so much potential, and life is full of possibilities. We're all on a journey. It's a pilgrimage to the place and purpose that God has for us. Erwin McManus said, "Very few are meant for a life of notoriety, yet all of us are meant for a life of significance." I don't know about you, but I want to live my life and have significance. But it feels like when you're on this trip with children, you don't get very far before they start asking that annoying question. You know it. Are we there yet? Do you ever feel like asking God, are we there yet? When am I going to get to that place? When am I going to be free of that habit? When am I going to change? When am I going to start living a purposeful life? Well, sadly, we get so numb and so distracted that we end up like a hamster on a wheel, just going and going, but never getting any closer to where God wants us to be. Someone once pointed out to me that the road to nowhere can also be read the road to now here. So this morning, I want to take a few minutes and look into God's word to see how we can change the road to nowhere to the road to now here, the place that God wants me to be. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6 and keep it open there. And we're going to look at some verses from that chapter as we go along. Matthew chapter 6 is a very familiar chapter. It's one that I've read many times in my life. And as I began to study it again, I saw it from a little different perspective. This passage is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5-7 records the entire sermon that Jesus preached early on in his ministry. In this sermon, Jesus explains what it means to be part of God's kingdom. The word kingdom means rule or reign, and the Bible tells us that once we place ourselves under God's rule by accepting Jesus as our Savior, we become citizens of God's kingdom. Jesus was explaining that God wants us as citizens of His kingdom to live out His law in our lives. The central theme of this sermon is that God wants us to be mature and whole and become more like Him so that our lives can be on the right path and that we can reach our full potential and live out His purpose in our lives. Jesus gives us some principles of His kingdom that help us to have the life He intended and to stay on the right path. So my first question this morning is, why is it that we so easily get off track and go our own way? Why do we spend so much of our lives on the road to nowhere? Well, as I studied this passage, I realized that Jesus gives us some of the reasons why we have such a difficult time staying on track. And I believe He did that so that we could be aware and we could be careful not to let those things get in the way of living a purposeful life. The first reason, I believe, is found at the beginning of the chapter. He begins the passage by telling us in verses 1 to 8, "When you give, don't do it so other people can see you. When you pray, don't pray so that people can hear you and think that you're so great." In verses 16 to 18, he says, "When you fast, don't go around with a long face so that everyone can see and know that you're fasting and think, oh, what a wonderful person you are." Well, sometimes the reason we get off track is because we're so concerned about what other people think about us. We're trying to impress and please others instead of pleasing God. We're seeking man's approval instead of God's. There's this old fable that I read that's been passed down for generations. It tells about an elderly man who was traveling with a boy and a donkey. As they walked through a village, the man was leading the donkey and the boy was walking behind. The townspeople said to the old man, "You're a fool for not riding." So to please them, he climbed up on the animal's back. When they came to the next village, the people said the old man was cruel to let the child walk while he enjoyed the ride. So to please them, he got off and set the boy on the animal's back and continued on his way. In the third village, people accused the child of being lazy for making the old man walk, and the suggestion was made that they both ride. So the man climbed on and they set off again. And in the fourth village, the townspeople were indignant at the cruelty to the donkey because he was made to carry two people. The frustrated man was last seen carrying the donkey down the road. Now, we can laugh, but that story makes a really good point. You can't please everybody, and if you try, you end up carrying a heavy burden. That's why we need to remember that the one we must please above all others is Christ. We learn as small children that pleasing others brings rewards. If I clean off my plate, Mom will praise me and give me dessert. If I bring home good grades, I might be rewarded. And that cause and effect behavior can carry over into adulthood. And at some point, a healthy desire to see people we love experience joy can turn into something unhealthy. We need to ask ourselves before we do anything, what is my motivation for doing this? Am I afraid of being rejected if I say no? Am I expecting to receive something in return? Or did I determine my course of action based on what's popular and not on what's right? See, people pleasing can be rewarding, and this might not be wrong in and of itself, but pleasing God is a higher calling, and it's much more fulfilling. We're headed for trouble when our desire to please people and gain their approval becomes as important as pleasing God. The problem with being a people pleaser is when people approve of you, you're up. And when someone's upset with you, you're devastated. Your whole life becomes like a stage performance, seeking the applause and avoiding the disapproval of the crowd. The biggest problem comes when seeking the approval of people is given way too much priority in our lives. We do what people want and seek their approval over what God wants. And it can take us off track and away from God's best. Another reason we can get off track is if we have hurts that we're still dealing with. In verses 14 and 15, it says, For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. You know, it's difficult to focus on what God wants you to do when you've been hurt and you're in pain. And there may be some of you that are listening, and you may have gone through things that no one deserves to experience in life. Perhaps you've experienced some kind of abuse, or maybe you're struggling to deal with family dysfunction, or perhaps someone took advantage of you in business, or you've been hurt by someone in the church, and you want to be able to live that kingdom life, but you can't seem to get past your emotional wounds. And when we have wounds on our physical body, we tend to take care of them. But I don't think we're as good at doing that when it comes to wounds on our inner being. And it's the inner being that's really most important. It's much easier to hide those wounds that are on the inside. Some people live their life in pain, but if you ask them how they're doing, they'll just smile and say, "Oh, I'm fine, praise the Lord." But in the meantime, they're busy running full speed down the road to nowhere. God, He wants you to be whole. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, but you need to admit that you need healing and seek help. It takes time to heal, and the greater the wound, sometimes the greater the time needed. But God wants to heal you, and there is no shame in needing to be healed in your inner being. Receiving forgiveness and forgiving others are two of the most important factors in emotional healing. So ask yourself, is unforgiveness, hurt, or unresolved emotional pain causing me to be off track in my life? Another reason we can get off track is if we don't connect with God. Someone said one danger in regard to prayer is to be prayerless. Another is to pray more and remain empty of genuine contact with God. Prayer is so much more than just informing God of your need or trying to convince God to give you what you want. Prayer is about connecting with God. Jesus warns us in verses 5 to 8 not to pray like the hypocrites and the pagans do. He says, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they pray, love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward, their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." He's referring here to the practice of meaningless repetition in prayer, the kind of prayer that's just a religious act. I get a lot of calls from telemarketers, especially from duct cleaners for some reason, and I don't like those calls, and I try to avoid them if I can. They call, and it's like they have this rehearsed speech that they have to say. They have no personal connection to you, and they just call because it's their job, and they have to do it to get paid. They always want something from you. But they don't like the call, and the person they're talking to doesn't like it. And I think that must be what it's like for God when we pray using lots of words and just repeating phrases to do our duty and see if God will give us what we want. But when you get a call from a friend or a loved one or someone in your family that you love and have a relationship with, it's such a different experience. You enjoy talking to them. It's so nice to hear their voice, and it's hard to get off the phone because you have so much to talk about. And it doesn't even have to be anything big. You can talk about little things, but you feel close and you just want to connect. And that's what praying should be like. It's about connecting with God. And if you're not continually staying connected to God through prayer, if you're just going through the motions out of duty, you're going to find that life becomes barren and dead. And then in verses 19 to 23, we see another reason why we can live on the road to nowhere. It says, Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Have you ever heard the statement, some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good? Well, actually, nothing could be further from the truth. History demonstrates that people in this world who've done the most good are actually people who are most invested in and conscious of the world to come. Storing treasure is a metaphor for what we invest our lives in. If you have stock in a company and you're following that company's profitability, you're going to do that much more passionately than I am. Jesus says you should invest in heaven, and we can do that through every relationship, every conversation, every act of kindness. When we serve the needy, we're investing in heaven. When we spend time and energy helping out in a ministry in the church, we're investing in heaven. When you give financially to the work of the gospel, you're investing in heaven. And it doesn't matter how talented we are or how wealthy we are, we can all invest in heaven. What matters is that we're faithful and that we're obedient to do that. And as we do, a great thing happens. Our hearts follow our treasure, and we love and think about what we invest in, and that keeps us on the right path. Another reason that we can get off track is because we focus on the cares of this world. Verses 25 to 32 talk about worrying. It says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, and yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Life is hard, but the more I think about it, the more I realize that when Jesus said, don't worry, he knew what life was like and how difficult it would be for us. What Jesus is saying is that this is the way to live life in a very busy world where there's corruption and all kinds of pressure on us, where we suffer pain and heartache, where we have to wrestle with finances in a very materialistic world. The way you can do that and not lose your mind is to trust God to take care of us. Jesus said, look at the birds. They don't worry, and I take care of them. We need to stop worrying, because worry is one thing that keeps us on the road to nowhere. Now, those are some things that we do that keep us on the road to nowhere. Now, I'd like to take a couple of minutes to talk about how we can stay on track, how we can stay on the right path, the path that leads to life and fullness and purpose. Well, verses 33 and 34 give us the answer. Verse 33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well. One of the kingdom principles is that we have to set right priorities. If you're going to stay on track, you need to have your priorities straight. I read about this group of friends who went deer hunting. They paired off in twos for the day. That night, one of the hunters returned alone, staggering under a large buck. Where's Harry? They asked, to which the man replied, Harry had a stroke of some kind. He's a couple of miles back up the trail. You left Harry lying there and carried the deer back? A tough call, nodded the hunter, but I figured no one was going to steal Harry. That man had his priorities all mixed up. It's so important that we have right priorities. The question, what's number one, is a question that I believe all of us as God's children need to ask ourselves on a regular basis, because it's so easy for us to get our priorities all mixed up. A priority is something that has importance in our life. It's those things that we place higher value on than others. Whether we think about it or not, we all live our lives according to our priorities. And the higher the priority, the greater a sense of importance that we place on it. Every choice we make, every activity we engage in, every expenditure of our energy and our money is based on our priorities. The higher the priority, the higher the value that we place on it. Having the wrong priorities in life is like buttoning our coat wrong. If you get the first button wrong, all the others will line up according to the misplaced first one. But when you get the first button right, all the others will line up where they're designed to be. Jesus tells us clearly in verse 33 what needs to be number one. Jesus taught that what matters most and what's most valuable is seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness and doing what He wants us to do. My prayer for each of us is that God will help us to reevaluate our lives this year, to look at ourselves and our schedules squarely in the face and to ask ourselves, what really is most important in my life? And may we readjust our lives to do as Jesus commanded, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. God gives us a promise that if we put His kingdom first and do what He wants us to do, that all these things will be added to us. Now, I don't want to miss out on what God has in store for me because I put some other stuff first. How about you? The second thing that we can do to stay on track is to take one step at a time. Verse 34 says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Sometimes when we're driving home, we go down a road called Twin Rivers. And if you've never driven that road, it's curvy and it has very steep hills and a couple of narrow bridges. Before you get too far, you see a sign. It's a load limit sign. And it says, no big trucks allowed. The people who built those bridges knew exactly how much they could carry. They wanted to make sure that nothing too heavy went on it. And you know, God knows our load limit too. He created us and He knows just what we can handle. John Newton said, "I compare the troubles which we have to undergo in the course of a year to a great bundle of sticks, far too large for us to lift. But God doesn't require us to carry the whole at once. He mercifully unties the bundle and gives us first one stick, which we are to carry today, then another, which we are to carry tomorrow, and so on. This we might easily manage if we would only take the burden appointed for each day. But we choose to increase our troubles by carrying yesterday's stick over again today and adding tomorrow's burden to our load before we're required to bear it." You see, God gives each of us grace for one day at a time. And to avoid burnout and weariness in our minds and bodies, we need to learn to live one day at a time. We need to take one step at a time. When you seek God first and live one day at a time, you'll put yourself on the road to becoming all that God intended you to be. You'll be amazed at how living like that will fill your life with hope and joy and peace. Living such a life offers a future filled with all the potential God intended, full of God's power, full of His life in you, and full of His purpose working through you. I went to IKEA recently. This was before the lockdown in Toronto. And let me tell you, it was crazy. You have to line up in a maze, staying 6 feet away from people. And they let a certain number of people in the store at a time. When you finally get in the store, you have to follow the arrows that are on the floor. You can't detour or take any shortcuts. There's no mistake in the way that you should go. When you try to go the wrong way, people will tell you you can't do that. Do you ever wish you had something like that for your life, where you had big arrows on the path that say, this is the journey in which you have found yourself. Here is how to get started. Here's the way to get to where you want to go. You want to fulfill your destiny? Then this is what you must do. Just follow the arrows, and here's how things are going to turn out in the end. Wouldn't it be great if we had that? We don't have that, but we do have God's word to guide us on our journey. And when we follow his word and his direction in our lives, we will stay on track. But we need to trust God, and we need to put him first, and we need to take one day at a time. The truth is, we're all in different places on our journey. Some of you may be at the point where you're ready to say yes to Jesus today, and you want to begin a personal relationship with him. I want you to know God loves you so much. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, to take the punishment for your sin and for mine, so that we could have a home in heaven. You can't earn it. It's a free gift, but you do need to receive it. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Now, many of us have already done that. We know that we are saved and that we're going to heaven when we die, but what about this life? Is your life barren? Do you feel like you're going nowhere? You can't seem to change and you're struggling in your Christian walk. If that's you, then I want you to ask yourself, do I need to stop trying to please others? Do I need to connect with God more? Do I need inner healing? Do I need to trust God more? Do I have my priorities straight? And am I living one day at a time? And as we enter a new year, I want to encourage you to examine your heart and ask ourselves the question, where is my life headed? I want to just take a moment before I conclude, and I'd love to pray for you this morning. God, thank you for this past year and your provision and your faithfulness in our lives. God, it's been a hard year, but we can look back and say you have been with us and you have been faithful. And as we look into this new year, 2021, we just look to you and we ask that you would help each one of us, that you would guide us and direct us, that we would be able to examine our hearts and our lives, and that you would help us to change in areas that you would want us to change, that we would become more and more like you. God, I thank you that you never leave us and that you're always with us. Help us to take one day at a time and to put our trust in you. That we would keep our priorities straight, God, and live and do what you have called us to do. And I just thank you, and I ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for joining us this morning. And if you would like someone to pray with you, all you have to do is just click the request prayer button on the screen, and one of our pastors or hosts will be there to pray with you. God bless you. Take care, and have a great week.